heaven. There are no yesterdays. Amen. And I appreciate the fact tonight that God said that our sins and our iniquities, He would remember no more. You say, well, you know, God forgot about my sin. No, don't misunderstand that tonight. God did not forget about your sin, because to forget something is unintentional. Anything I've ever forgotten in my life, I didn't mean to do it. It was accidental, whether I misplaced something or I just got busy or just it slipped my mind, I forgot about it. But God is not a God that forgets. He is a God that purposefully, in His sovereignty and in His love and His justice and His mercy, He chooses not to remember your sins anymore. Amen. And I'm thankful that He has the power to do that tonight. And our position in Christ, amen, He does not see our tattered record. He doesn't see our sin tonight, but He sees the perfection of His Son, amen. And that ought to make us rejoice tonight, amen. It's good to been good to be in church tonight, and appreciate the good singing tonight. Appreciate the youth choir and their dedication. I thank God for our young people here in our church. And the Lord's blessed us with a good number of young people. And I wasn't here, but I've heard tell many, many years ago, as my wife and sister Noelle were very young, there were very, very few young people in this church at one time. But look at what the Lord's done now. Amen. And thank God for that tonight. Amen. Just we could rejoice how God has blessed and His blessing the Bible Baptist Church. And boy, I'm glad to be a part of this church tonight. Amen. Glad to be a part of the body of Christ. But I'm glad tonight that we have a local church, a local assembly that we can come to, and we can draw strength from one another and draw strength from the Word of God. And I am thankful for Wednesday night church tonight. Amen. If you would go with us tonight to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. And pray for us. Our throat's just a little bit, our mouth and throat's a little bit dry tonight. And so we're going to try to be working through that tonight. Amen. But we'll go to Luke chapter number 9. And find with me, if you will, verse number 57. Luke chapter number 9 and verse number 57. I want to give you some lessons out of the words of the Lord Jesus here in Luke chapter number 9. And this passage kind of stands by itself a little bit. There's several things that happen in this chapter. But you'll notice there in verse number 56, the Bible said, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." That was His response to James and John wanting to call fire out of heaven and to destroy that crowd. But the Bible said in verse number 56, "And they went to another village." And as they are traveling, as they make their way, the text that we are, or as they have arrived rather, in this other village, we pick up our reading in verse number 7. And we find Jesus and His disciples there, and we have some visitors to them tonight. Verse number 57, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto Him, Lord, I will follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest." Well, that's a strong statement and a bold statement. Jesus answers in verse number 58, "And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. But He said unto another, Follow Me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we do thank You for this day. Thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You, Lord, for the blessedness of it. Thank You, Lord, for the things that we have been able to enjoy today. Lord, thank You, God, for the good weather. Thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to work, and Lord, the privilege to provide, Lord, for our families. Lord, we thank You, God, that we have our bearings about us. Thank You, Lord, for the mental and the physical capacity to just go about and do things in this life, Lord. Certainly things that we overlook, that we take granted for, but Lord, we want to say thank You. And Lord, we thank you, God, for the spiritual blessings that we have. Thank you, Lord, for who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for these good reminders in song tonight. Lord, thank you how you blessed there, and Lord, how you've touched my heart. And Lord, already, Lord, it's just been good to be in the house of God. Lord, I pray that you would meet with us, Lord, through your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, and Lord, that you would help us. And I ask you, dear Lord, that you would help us all to draw closer to you. And Lord, that you said tonight, if we would draw unto you, or draw nigh unto you, then you would draw nigh unto us. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to draw close to you. God, that there would be a closeness there, Lord, in our walk and our fellowship tonight. And Father, I pray that you'd help our hearts, and we'll thank you for what you do, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. The words before us tonight concerning what the Lord Jesus Christ had to say to these individuals are very, very practical in their nature. And I do want to say this tonight, that I am thankful for the great spiritual truths of the Word of God. I'm glad that doctrine has been presented to us and laid out before us, particularly in the New Testament church epistles. But I'm also thankful tonight that particularly when we look at the Gospels and we look at some Old Testament passages of Scripture, we don't draw a whole lot of doctrine, but there is great practical truth that we can draw from the Word of God. And I'm glad tonight that the Bible is a practical book. I'm glad that everything tonight, and there are a lot of things that are over our head and beyond our intellect tonight, but I'm glad that the Bible is a practical book. And these verses that are before us tonight are very practical in their nature. And so I want to try to be a help to you tonight as these have been a help to me. There are three individuals that are kind of spotlighted or highlighted in the text tonight. And Jesus, speaking to all three of them, gives them three separate pieces of instruction that we can benefit from tonight. Number one, I want you to look there in verse number 57. And we're going to call this first man tonight, we're going to call him the impulsive man. Notice what he said. The Bible said, as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, this is commendable tonight, but this gentleman, and we'll say more about it here in just a little bit, this guy was obviously all heart tonight. Amen. He kind of let his emotions get in gear before he really thought about things, and he comes and he is impulsive in his willingness to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, tonight, we not only see the impulsive man, but then I noticed that there is an invested man. He has some things that are holding him. Look there in verse number 59. The Bible said, and he said unto another, follow me. This time there is instruction that is given. There is a little bit more responsibility and a little bit more required upon this second man. Jesus actually gives the command, follow me. And here's his response in verse number 59. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. There were some things that were holding him down and some things holding him back or hindering his service for God. And then finally tonight we see the intending man. We've got the impulsive man. We've got the invested man. But then here we've got the intending man tonight. Look with me, if you will, there in verse number 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, notice this statement, is fit for the kingdom of God. I want to look at these three individuals tonight and Jesus' answer concerning their dilemmas tonight. And I want to just simply ask this question. Are you fit to follow Jesus? Are you fit to follow Jesus? Now, a lot of times preaching on discipleship and preaching on a greater burden and a greater area of responsibility can kind of fall into the area of when a preacher preaches on prayer or he preaches on tithing. We just kind kind of hit the snooze button. We coast through the service. All right, if I can just make it through this and not make any eye contact with the preacher, then I can shake the responsibility and I can leave the way I came and I won't have to do anything else or have any greater area of commitment tonight. But listen, this area of discipleship is a very, very important aspect of the Christian life. As a matter of fact, I think particularly maybe in some circles it would be something that is greatly neglected in the day and hour in which we live. It's wonderful that we make evangelistic pleas, and it's wonderful that we visit and we'll see sinners walk the aisle. But what happens after salvation? Are they disciples? Are they trained? Are they instructed on those things? And many times people will get saved and they'll walk out the door. But listen to me tonight. Even you and I that are faithful, even you and I that have made the decision to follow Christ, listen, the level and the amount of our discipleship needs to be checked on. It needs to be, we need to take inventory concerning those things tonight. And I simply want to ask the question, are you fit to follow Jesus? Number one, let's take a look at the impulsive man tonight. There in verse number 57, the Bible said, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Now I want you to notice the answer that Jesus gives this man, and Jesus instructs this impulsive man concerning detachments in his life. And so the impulsive man was constructed concerning detachments. Now here Jesus is, and the Lord Jesus Christ is an individual tonight that expressed the utmost level of commitment to God tonight, and Jesus wanted his disciples to be no different. Amen. Jesus wanted those that would make the commitment to follow him to the uttermost in their commitment and to be uttermost in their faithfulness unto him. And listen to me tonight, as we look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm thankful tonight that we have a committed Savior. Thank God tonight that he was committed to the will of God. Thank God he was committed to the cross tonight. Isaiah said that he set his face like a flint towards Jerusalem tonight. Amen. Jesus told those that followed him, and he told those in the multitude likewise, he said that it was my meat to do the will of him that sent me. We know this tonight, that as that baby was born in the manger, he was born with one purpose tonight, and it was to die for the sins of humanity. Thank God the angel said tonight that thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. He was committed to the will of the Father. Nothing was to hold him back from Jerusalem, because there in Jerusalem he would suffer and bleed and die on Calvary's cross, thus fulfilling the purpose and the will of God for his life. Amen. But listen, Jesus answered in verse number 58. This man said, "I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." And the answer to this impulsive man in verse number 58 was this. Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Now we understand tonight that as Jesus grew up in his boyhood, obviously he had a home, he had a family, he had a house. But we notice as the ministry of the Lord Jesus picks up, and we don't want to say this in any disrespectful way, but this is just in essence what it was. Jesus was practically homeless. Jesus and the disciples went from house to house, and they went from village to village, taking what people gave them, taking what was in essence provided of the Lord. And here Jesus wants this man to understand the level of commitment involved in the statement that he would follow him whithersoever thou goest. Jesus answered in verse number 58 again, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. A fox has a den, a bird has a nest in the tree, but you need to understand that as you follow me, there may be times and moments where the animals of the wilderness have more in their possession than you do tonight. Amen. And verse number 58 teaches us that the first principle of following Jesus tonight is a detachment from everything else. It's a detachment from everything else. What is the desire of the Lord Jesus tonight? The desire of the Lord Jesus is that you and I would separate ourselves not only from the world, be unspotted from the world and come out from the unclean thing. But listen, we ought to separate from everything that prevents God's will and God's goals concerning our life. That doesn't mean that you don't get to have a house. That doesn't mean that you don't get to have a car. But sometimes those possessions can become so burdensome to us that they do affect our walk and our service for God. Now you need to understand tonight, I saw a charismatic preacher one time trying to say that Jesus was wealthy and Jesus preached a message of prosperity and all of that kind of stuff, and Jesus had houses and lands. But in my Bible tonight, in the Gospels that I read, I find a very different story tonight. Amen. Jesus was separated from the things of this world. Jesus was not attached to possessions. He was not attached to those things. Because as we said earlier, there was one purpose in his heart and his mind, and that was to do the will of God tonight. And by the way, can I say this? When we read verse number 58, this is not so that we would pity the Lord Jesus. Jesus is not after your pity tonight. Amen. Oh, poor Jesus. The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Listen, Jesus is not after your pity tonight, but rather the principle stands true that we ought to pity those in this world that allow possessions and things and idols in their life to keep them from going greater distances with God. Understand tonight that everybody has debts. I get that. I have debts of my own tonight. But you understand that there are some people, they are so weighed down with debt and they are so strapped in this life and they have gotten themselves in such a predicament that if God did call them to some foreign field, they'd be hard-pressed to ever leave because of the attachments and the obligations that they have here tonight. Don't be impulsive in your decision to follow Christ. Count the cost and evaluate the price that is to be paid tonight. And as a young person tonight, I am not telling you don't seek a career. I am not telling you don't buy a house. I'm not telling you not to have things in this life. That is not the gist of the message at all. And if you walk away saying, Brother Grant said it was a sin to have things, then you have totally missed the gist of the message altogether tonight. But what I am telling you tonight is that you ought to determine to live your life that at any moment God could call you, at any moment God could draw you into some place of service, and you could pull up your tent pegs and you could uproot your family and go and follow God. We don't have any indication that Jesus ever called this man. But here Jesus and the disciples are, they're traveling in the way, and here this guy comes and he's like, hey Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you will go. Hasty decisions and impromptu vows are to be avoided. Don't get it in your mind that you're going to fast 20 days when you've never fasted one. Don't get it in your mind that you're going to get in the glory and pray for 3 hours when you've never prayed for 30 minutes. Don't make the decision that you're going to empty out your bank account and give it to the Jubilee when you've got bills to pay and you've never really done anything like that before. Can I tell you tonight that the Christian life, it is not a sprint, but rather it is a marathon tonight. Bible says tonight that you and I are to run the race that is set before us with patience. Don't be impulsive in your decisions. Don't be impulsive in the things that you feel like God wants you to do. Understand that if you are young, and I'm not telling you that you've got all the time in the world, but you ought to pace yourself. Understand something tonight, that everybody is not where they want to be. I'm not where I want to be in a lot of areas in my life. You say, preacher, I'm struggling with this, or I'm not where I need to be, or I'm not where I expect myself to be. You ought to just join the club, take a number, and get in line, because everybody has struggles. Everybody has difficulties, and I won't call any names tonight, but some of these gray-haired saints in here tonight, the reason that they're still serving, the reason that they're still here, is because they made a conscious decision every day when they woke up that they would serve God. They didn't look 50 years down the road. They didn't even look probably 2 weeks down the road, but they just made the conscious decision as to where they were, because nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Nobody knows and understands what's going to happen. But if you'll get up every single day with the intention in mind that you're going to do the will of God, then you can make it tonight. Don't be impulsive in your decisions. Jesus said in Mark chapter number 8 in verse number 34, He said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Leonard Ravenhill made an excellent statement concerning this verse. He said, "The one thing that stands true about a man carrying a cross out of town is that you know that he is not coming back." When that old man is on that cross, understand that when Jesus is on the cross, you're Lord. You're running the show. You're running your life. But when you get up on that cross and He's crowned eternally as Lord at the right hand of God, and you're willing to die out yourself, and you're willing to be able to divorce yourself from the cares and the ambitions and the dreams that this world has in trade for a life that is lived for the honor and the glory of Jesus Christ, as you are there on the cross, then Christ is crowned as Lord in your life tonight. Amen. There's room at the cross for you tonight. Amen. Maybe we ought to sing it like this. There's room on the cross for you. The impulsive man was instructed concerning his detachment. Secondly, tonight I see the invested man. The invested man was instructed tonight concerning duty. Look at verse number 59. The Bible said, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Here this invested man was instructed concerning duty. Now this man, as we already said, he was asked to follow. There's a little bit of a greater obligation placed upon this man than there was the first man. But this man speaks of his father. He uses this obligation as an excuse to go farther with Jesus. Now, it may not be your father tonight, but it might be your job. It might be your hobby. It might be your family. It might be some area in your life that you have put up on a pedestal and you have exalted in your life. But here is what we need to understand, that Christ called this man and Christ knew the obligations that this man, and if Christ did call, then don't you think that Jesus understood the sacrifice involved in this man's life? Boy, sometimes we live like that, but we act like we're just so busy. But isn't it amazing that as busy as we are in this rat race called life, isn't it amazing that we can prioritize the things that we want to tonight? That's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing that the things that I just make time for. You know why? Because I want to. But listen, Jesus understands the sacrifice involved in your life. He understands the steps that are necessary that you'll have to take in order to follow Him tonight. Amen. There is no excuse that is greater than the call of God and the call of service upon the life of a Christian tonight. Everything else must take a back seat to the call of God. I'm careful to make this statement because I don't want to imply anything. Number one, I do not want to throw stones at preachers who work jobs. Understand that. I'm in that category tonight. Amen. And what I mean by that is secular jobs. That's a public job. But I've met too many preachers that were really electricians and they preached on the side. I've met too many guys that their main focus was their career. And oh yeah, when I have time, I preach. Understand something tonight, that the call to preach, if you're really called tonight, the call to preach will change your life. Boy, this seems like a good idea. I think I'll just preach. No. Listen, there is a call to preach the Word of God tonight. Y'all okay tonight? The call of God changes a man's life. It changes a man's life tonight. Amen. Now, can I say this, that God is not asking you to forsake your family. God is not asking you to forsake your job. God is not asking you to forsake the obligations in your life. But here is what God is asking you. Do not use those things in your life as an excuse as to why you can't go further, as to why you can't do more. What is it that's holding you back tonight? I promise you this, whatever it is you're holding on to, that's what's holding you back. The invested man was instructed concerning his duty. But then thirdly tonight, we find the intending man. The intending man was instructed concerning his dedication. Look with me again in verse number 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now it becomes obvious to us tonight that this man's family was important to him. Please, don't misunderstand. Family is important. But isn't it interesting that family members are mentioned twice? He said in verse number 59, the one gentleman said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And then in verse number 61, this other individual, he said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Who's he talking about? He's talking about those of his household, those of his family. Now, there are a few problems with this man wanting to go home first. He goes home. There's the comforts of home. There's his Lazy Boy. There's his TV. There's his refrigerator. There's the deer heads on the wall. There's that great aspect of familiarity to him tonight. Near this man, he goes home. Don't you know his family could have talked him out of going? Oh, you don't need to follow Jesus. He's got plenty of disciples tonight. Y'all know. I mean, He's got Peter and John and all of them. You know, they quit fishing. They went and followed Jesus. You know, they need somebody down at the mill. Everybody can't go to the mission field. Everybody can't go preach. Family ties can be binding and restricting when it comes to serving God. Understand tonight that everybody that shares your last name and everybody that shares your bloodline is not going to be jumping up and down and rejoicing over the fact that you have quit your job or you have done this or done that, made these changes and made these decisions to follow God. Jesus illustrates this by mentioning plowing in verse number 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know this, that plowing obviously is an agricultural term. And plowing something that has a contingency for time placed upon it. You plow at one time, you plant at another, and you harvest at another. Jesus mentions plowing to this man. He said, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You can't plow a straight row looking back. He's looking back at his house, looking back at his possessions, looking back at the house, looking back at the car, looking at all of those things tonight. But Jesus is mentioning plowing. It's contingent upon time. If we're going to plow, we're going to have to plow now, because there's got to be time to plant and there's got to be a harvest. Listen, we got to get busy. We can't waste our time. We got to plow now. And here's the principle tonight. Can you listen to me for just a second? If you don't get anything else in the message, get this. Whatever you're planning on being for Jesus, be that now. Whatever you're planning on being for Jesus, go ahead and just make up your mind that you're going to be that now. Maybe God is knocking on some young man's heart door about preaching the gospel. Whatever you're going to be for Jesus, just throw in, listen, lock, stock, and barrel, and just be what God wants you to be. Don't worry about what the crowd says. Don't worry about the obligations. Don't worry about what you think you've got to take care of. Just listen, wave goodbye to the possessions. Put your hand to the plow and plow the row that God has directed you to plow. God's not concerned about yesterday or tomorrow, but you know what God's concerned with tonight? He's concerned with today. Well, I'm gonna be. No, no, no. What are you right now? Well, I plan to be. No, 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 no. What are you right now? Is God pleased with where you are now? What is your field of service now? Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 2, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're here tonight and you're lost, can I invite you to put your hand to the plow? Can I invite you to take a trip by faith to bloody Calvary and put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Don't put it off. I say again, you cannot plow a straight row looking forward. Here's the problem with serving God tonight. You want to see it tonight? It's in the text. Notice in verse number 57, Lord, I will follow thee. Verse number 59, Lord, suffer me to go and bury my father. Verse number 61, another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. There it is. You know what my problem is tonight with serving God? It's I, my, me first. Yeah, Lord, I'll make time to read my Bible. Me first. I'll make time to do what you want me to do. But Lord, you know, I want to really do me first. Me first. Me, I, me first. Our problem is not them. Our problem is not that. Our problem is not they. My problem tonight is I. My problem tonight is me. You know why I'm not where I ought to be with God? Me. I. You know I'm not further along than what I ought to be? You know why I don't know more about my Lord in this book tonight than I do? You know what the problem is? Me. Boy, I'll make time for me. There's a lot of times in my life, regretfully and sadly tonight, I hadn't made time for Him. Are you fit to follow Jesus tonight? Let's stand together as they prepare a song. Maybe you need to come. Maybe the Lord's dealt with your heart concerning something tonight. Would you make that commitment tonight? Would you follow Him? Maybe you're like some of those disciples there as Jesus was arrested going to the cross. They followed Him afar off. You say, preacher, I'm following Him. I'm one of His. But the problem is tonight, you may be not as close as you need to be. Not as close as He wants you to be. Maybe you're here tonight and you're discouraged and your faith is weak. You say, preacher, I'm not where I ought to be. I've got some things that I'm struggling with. I've got this and that I'm dealing with. Listen, just come talk to Him about it. Just draw closer to Him tonight. As they sing tonight, I'm glad that there are no yesterdays in eternity. Thank God tonight that He is a God that chooses by His grace to forgive and then not remember our sins anymore tonight. As they're praying, There's still time to come tonight. Are you fit to follow Him?